Tonight we continue our study through Isaiah, and we are in chapters 23 and 24. So we again encourage you to just read them over and join with us at 7 o'clock this evening as we gather to study the Word and to continue our journey through the Bible. This morning, looking at chapter 24, beginning with verse 21. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously." The prophets were always looking ahead, seeing the work of God that was to be wrought in the future, in the nation, and in the world. The phrase "in that day" is a phrase that is referring to what God was going to do in a particular day in the future. Isaiah uses this phrase "and in that day" some 43 different times as he is outlining events that would be taking place in the future. Special days in the history of man that have been ordained by God. Days that would mark the turning point for a nation. Days that would mark the turning point for the world. There was the day when the nation of Judah was to fall and to be taken captive by the Babylonians. The prophet spoke of that day in which there would be that despair, the day in which they would be carried away as captives, the day in which they would be in Babylon and hang their harps on willow trees as they could no longer sing the songs of the Lord, but were filled with that despair and hopelessness that they experienced in the Babylonian captivity. But then the Lord also spoke of that day when Cyrus would give a decree and they would be released from that Babylonian captivity. The day when they would come again with rejoicing to Mount Zion. The day when they would begin the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the city. The day when once again they would dwell in that land that God had promised to their father Abraham. And then God spoke of one of the most important days in all of the history of mankind. That day when in the little village of Bethlehem, a virgin would conceive. Well, actually not in Bethlehem, but the virgin who had conceived would bring forth her son and lay him in a manger. That day when God would become flesh, that he might dwell among men. That day of hope, when those who were sitting in darkness would see the great light, unto those who were sitting in the shadow of death would the day star arise. And then the Lord spoke of that day when this child would be presented to the nation as their Messiah. They were told that on that day he would not come with great pomp and circumstance. But they were said, "In that day the daughters of Jerusalem shall rejoice greatly, for their king comes to them. But he is lowly, he'll be riding on a donkey." Daniel tells us that that day would take place 483 years after the commandment went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. In the psalm that we read today, it was a reference to that day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What day? The day that the Messiah would come into Jerusalem as they would be singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The day when the Messiah would be presented to the nation. But then, the scriptures tell us of a day that would probably be one of the most infamous days in the history of man. The darkest day of history. The day when the Messiah would be cut off out of the land of the living. And so we read in Isaiah 52 that he would be lifted up. That term lifted up is the term that Jesus used to refer to his crucifixion. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And this he said, signifying the death by which he was to die, that is crucifixion. He'd be lifted up on a cross. And thus, through that, drawing all men unto him. But Isaiah prophesied that he'd be lifted up. He prophesied in the 53rd chapter he would be despised and rejected of men. He would be numbered with the transgressors in his death. He would be cut off out of the land of the living. In that day, the psalmist tells us, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In that day, the psalmist said, for his thirst they will give him vinegar to drink. In that day, the psalmist said that he could stare at his bones and all of his bones were out of joint. In that day, the psalmist declares that they would divide his garments among them and cast lots for his robe. In that day, Isaiah tells us he would be put to death with thieves. But in that day, we are told, he would not be dying for his own sins, but for the transgressions of my people, God cried, was he smitten. In that day, he would bear our sins and die in our place. But the Bible speaks of another important day. A day in which that same Jesus will come and receive his church unto himself. When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That day when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, that we might ever be with the Lord. That day when we would all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That day when this corruption will put on incorruption and this mortal will put on immortality, and I will rise to meet my Lord in the air and ever be with my Lord. But the Bible tells us that after that day, there is coming a day of God's judgment upon the earth, a day that will be so fierce, so awesome, that never in the history of man has there ever been anything to equal the cataclysmic, catastrophic judgments of God that will fall upon the earth because of the wickedness of the earth. Now, this is the day that our prophet is talking about in our text today. In that day, it will come to pass that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. The Bible tells us that in that day of great tribulation, that there will be meteorite showers, but the meteors will be striking the earth. They will not be consumed in the atmosphere. And it tells us of the tremendous damage that will be done in that day as the result of the stars falling from heaven like a fig tree shaking her untimely figs. Back in 1906 in Russia, in the northern portion up in Siberia, there was a tremendous explosion that devastated hundreds of square miles of forest, flattened the trees like toothpicks. It is believed that it happened as the result of a meteorite striking in that area. We do know that in Arizona, near Winslow, there's a huge crater there in the surface of the desert, created by the meteorite that fell and struck the dirt, the desert in that area. Imagine what it will be when there is a meteorite shower striking the earth all over. There will be great hurricanes in that day. They will be worldwide. And there will be not a local earthquake, but a worldwide earthquake. As the prophet described in verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth moves exceedingly. The earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. In fact, going back to the first part of Isaiah 24, looking at our text in its context, behold, the Lord makes the earth empty. He makes it a waste. He turns it upside down. He scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof. Verse 3, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth, and he gives the reason for it, because the earth is defiled by the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws and they have changed the ordinances. They've broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men will be left. Verse 17, for fear in the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. It shall come to pass, whoever flees from the noise of the fear shall fall in the pit, and he that comes out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. We are told in that day that the shaking of the earth will be so severe that everything on the earth that can be shaken will be shaken, so only that which cannot be shaken will be left. This building and every building created by man will be shaken to the ground in that tremendous shaking of the earth in that day of which God has spoken. Awesome. Awesome. In that day, there will be 90-pound hailstones. A few years ago, I was in Fort Collins, Colorado, speaking to the servicemen there on the base, when suddenly it began to hail. Huge hailstones. Not quite as big as golf balls, almost. And they began to just pelt that field where I was speaking to the troops that had mustered there. And suddenly, we were all diving for cover. And I found an armored personnel carrier that I dove into with about 20 other guys. And we heard the hail as it was pelting the metal on that weapon. And we looked out and we saw the hail falling there on the mustering area. And I was amazed at the force and the power of that hail. But imagine hailstones 90 pounds, flattening trees, devastating the forest, and any building or car that might be under it. In that day, we are told that God will punish the host of the high ones that are on high. In that day, we are told that Satan will be bound and will be cast by the Lord into the pit, the abuso. Isaiah speaks of it here. They shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and they shall be shut up in the prison. And for a period of time, Satan and his angels will be bound in the abuso in that day. You remember when Jesus came to the little area of the village of Gadara, that there was a man who was possessed by an evil spirit who was living in the caves. This man was extremely ferocious. They had tried to bind him with chains, but he would just snap the chains. And he would sit out there in the cave wailing and taking rocks and cutting his body. And when Jesus and his disciples landed in the little ship on the shore near the area where he was living in the cave, he came running out to them in a very menacing fashion. I can hear Peter saying, "Lord, let's get out of here." But Jesus instead addressed the man. He said, "What have we to do with you? We know who you are." And Jesus said, "What is your name?" And they said, "Our name is Legion because we are many." And Jesus commanded them to come out, and they said, "Please don't send us to the pit or the abuso before our time." And you remember Jesus said to go, and he allowed them to go into a herd of swine that were feeding nearby, and they panicked and rushed into the sea and were drowned. You remember the story. But they were begging, "Don't send us to the pit before our time." They know the day is coming. They know the day is coming when they are to be placed in that abuso, the prison, when they are to be bound and placed there, as Isaiah tells us here, that day when these hosts of high, the spiritual forces that are in control of the world today, will be imprisoned. And a day when the kings of the earth that are upon the earth will be judged, will be punished. God is going to punish those world rulers who have led the world in this rebellion against God. The world rulers who have changed the laws of God and the ordinances of God. As we look at the world today, we see how the legislators have changed the ordinances of God, the laws of God. God established certain laws by which he sought to protect the family and to protect the social order. But we've been guilty of breaking those laws. New laws have been enacted by our Congress. Laws that protect the homosexual and actually give him special privileges not enjoyed by just the common righteous person. But they are allowed special favors. When God's laws said that they were to be punished for that sin. They have changed the laws of God concerning life. And the Supreme Court justices who gave the decisions by which some 30 million babies have now been killed in their mother's womb as the result of those decisions. God is going to punish those leaders of the earth that have led in this rebellion against the law of God and the ordinances of God. He will punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and he will also punish the kings of the earth upon the earth in that day. But then the Bible tells us that there is a day that is coming when the Lord of glory will come back to the earth, and in that day he will set his foot upon the Mount of Olives, and it will split in the middle. In that day he will set up his throne in Jerusalem. In that day he will destroy those who have been destroying the earth. And he will gather together the nations of the world to be judged. We are told that that day would be immediately after those days of great tribulation. For immediately after the great tribulation, he said, shall they see the sign of the Son of Man coming with clouds and great glory. In that day he shall reign over the earth in righteousness and true justice. In that day he will establish God's kingdom upon the earth, a kingdom of peace. And peace will flow like a river over the whole earth. In that day, God's love will flourish, and man will experience a joy that is indescribable and full of glory. In that day, there won't be anything such as wild animals. All of the animals will be tame and domesticated. Little children will have lions for pets. In that day, there won't be any poisonous snakes or spiders. In that day, there will be nothing that will cause fear or alarm. In that day, there will be no handicaps. In that day, the lame will leap for joy, and the dumb will sing praises unto God, and the blind will see the glories of God's creation. In that day, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall we also appear with him in glory. For in that day he will be coming with 10,000s of his saints to establish God's kingdom upon the earth. Special days that God has ordained for the world, for mankind. In those days, there will be no death. We will live and reign with him forever. Now, God revealed to John many things about these days that are to come. God revealed to John the days of the church's ministry upon the earth. He then revealed the tribulation that would come upon the earth when the church's ministry was through. He then revealed to John the judgments that would come. And finally, he revealed to John the new heaven and the new earth and the glory of it. And after this revelation, God said to John, behold, I come quickly. And John responded, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And then he wrote, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And I think as he laid his pen down, he laid over and died. The Lord came quickly for John. His mission is finished. Why leave him around in this mess any longer? His job is over. The revelation is complete. "Behold, I come quickly." And John says, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." And I believe that was it. Just gave him a chance to write the amen and came. For Jesus said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And the Bible tells us of that day when the Lord is coming for his church, for all of us. And we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, there are momentous days ahead for the earth, momentous days ahead for Israel. But there are also momentous days in your life. There are those special days in each of our lives. And one of the most important days in all of our lives was the day we were born. In fact, you have your friends gather with you every year to commemorate that special day. "This is my birthday. Let's have a party." You know, and you're commemorating that special day. If it weren't for that, you wouldn't be here. So we celebrate our birthdays. That is our birthday after the flesh. But you know, there's another special birthday that God wants each of you to know. And that is the day that you are born of the Spirit. Your second birthday. Where you are born by the Spirit, your spirit comes alive, and you begin to live a life in relationship with God, who is a Spirit. And you become conscious of God. And you become conscious of God's presence. And you begin to experience God's power in your life. And far more important is the second birth. Because the Bible tells us that in that day when the judgment is come, that those who have been born again will escape that judgment. They will not suffer from the second death. But if you have not been born again, do you know that the Bible says you would have been better off never have been born the first time if you're not born the second time? To just be born once can be the greatest tragedy that a person ever experienced. You need to be born twice, born of the Spirit, that you might be a part of God's kingdom in that day. For you see, in that day, there will be those who will enter into the glorious kingdom of God. Jesus said, "He will gather together the nations as a shepherd gathers," and then he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And to those on his right hand, he'll say, "Come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundations of the earth. Enter into the joy of the Lord." But to those on his left, he'll say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into that place that was prepared for Satan and his angels." Been better for you if you had never been born once, if you haven't been born twice. And so the importance of that second birth. And God has established a day for you when you should receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Behold, today is the day of salvation. It's something that you shouldn't put off to another day. Many people have made that mistake, tragically. They thought that they would just put off the day of the Lord in their own life. Someday I'll get around to it. Someday I'm going to reform. Someday I'm going to change. But the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And God is giving you opportunity today. And this could become the greatest day in your entire life. The day that you'll look back to with more joy and excitement than the day of your birth. First birth. The day that you look back to when Jesus Christ came in and took over my life and I was born again. Now, there are some of you who are a little reluctant about becoming a Christian. Not that you don't admire the Christian life. You do. You even long to live a better life. And New Year's coming up, it's going to be a new year. It's going to be different. There are a lot of things that you're not going to do once the new year comes around. You're going to change. You're going to be a different person. And there are a lot of things you're going to do. You know, you're going to live a better life, and you're going to, you've got it all set, the new year, the resolutions. Well, you've done that before. And those things that the 1st of January this year you said you were going to do, unfortunately, they didn't get done. And a lot of those things you said you weren't going to do, man, you've been caught up in the mess again. And you've almost despaired of ever being able to change. I tried so hard. But I fell back into the old pit, into the mess. I wanted out. I determined I was going to come out, but yet I just wasn't able. And so you think, well, you know, I would like to live a Christian life. I would like to do the right things, but I just don't have the power. I'm just not able. And I don't like to start something I can't carry through. The Bible tells us that if that day you will receive Jesus Christ, as you receive him, you'll also receive a new power, a new dynamic in your life that will give to you power beyond your own, strength beyond your own, abilities beyond your own. And so here's the fallacy of, and the vast difference between the Reformation and the transformation. You've tried Reformation and you know that doesn't work. You've tried to reform, but it hasn't worked. But the Bible says, be ye transformed. That is the transformation by the Spirit of God, where your spirit is now alive in tune with God and the power of God's Spirit now giving you the ability to live the kind of life that God wants you to live and that deep down in your heart you want to live. Now, acknowledged, it isn't easy to live a Christian life because you are living in a world that is in rebellion against God and in a world that hates righteousness. If you dare to speak up or to stand up for righteousness and righteous principles, you're going to be hooted down by the crowd. If you don't believe it, just watch Donahue program. Every day, those that come and advocate wicked, filthy things, they are applauded. Hooray, wonderful. Get up and stand up for something that is right and good, and the put-downs, the ridicule, the mockery. It's not easy to live a Christian life. It's not easy to do the right thing because the pressure of the world around you is to drag you down and to pull you down. But Jesus Christ has promised that the day that you receive Him, in that day you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit that you might be all that God wants you to be. And this could be that day if you would just open your heart to Jesus Christ. So we pray. Father, the day of decision, the day of opportunity, we thank you for it. We realize, Lord, that there is coming very soon a day when we won't have the opportunity. When Noah went into the ark and the door was closed, the day of opportunity for salvation was over. There was just the facing of the judgment of God wiping out the earth that then was. And Lord, we realize that the days of opportunity are very short, that the day of the Lord is very close at hand. That day when you will gather your church unto yourself and will begin the process of judging the wicked world. Those who have forsaken your law and changed your ordinances, and you punish the high ones as well as the kings and the people of the earth. Lord, may we take advantage of the day that you have given to us to know the power of your Spirit, to be born again by the Spirit, to become a part of your family, children of God, born again by the Spirit of God into the family of God. May this be a day, Lord, that many here this morning will long remember, the day I was born again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? On that day that Jesus came into Jerusalem, as was predicted, he wept as he was there on that little donkey. Amidst the cries and the shouts of the people, he wept. He said, if you'd only known the things that you could have had in this thy day. And he wept because they missed their day of opportunity. Lost opportunities brought him to tears. If you only knew the peace that you could have in Christ today, if you only knew the love, the joy that you could have in Christ today, and you can only know it if you make this the day that you quit running from God, you quit fighting against the Spirit of God, the day that you say yes to God and turn your life over to Him. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you, as soon as we're dismissed, go back to the prayer room. The pastors of the church and counselors will be back there to pray with you that this might become that day that you'll always remember, the day that you pass from darkness into light, the day that you went from death into life, the glorious life of Jesus. And now, as you go out to face that world that is out busy buying a lot of junk that's going to burn, may May you be conscious of that gift that you have, the imperishable gift of God's love in Christ Jesus. And rather than being all caught up and worried about the material things, let's make this a real spiritual Christmas. And let's remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And let's remember that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has the gift that can't be shaken when the rest of the world is flattened. May God bless you and strengthen you and give you a beautiful week as you walk with Jesus.